A lot of voices. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, we'll use that as a kickoff verse. Am I on? That's usually the question. Can I hear myself? A little bit. All right, good. So, in light of what's going on nationally, internationally, every once in a while I need to address some things, and I think this would be a good way to do this biblically. I'm going to give probably half of the sermon will be introduction. The other half will be meat. Since the fall, in the Garden of Eden, human beings have been rejected by a holy God because human beings rejected God. That makes sense, right? They decided to go their own way, in other words. Adam and Eve essentially said to God that they didn't need or want his direction, guidance, or protection. That they could handle it on their own, especially now that they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were enlightened. So since the banishment of Adam and Eve from the garden and the murder of Abel by Cain, the human legacy has been one of sin, slaughter, and separation from God. Any visuals? Can anybody get that with what we see? For over 1,000 years, from Adam to Abraham, man has navigated and maneuvered his way across the earth and across time, trying to figure out what life, family, meaning, and death are all about without God. How do we find all that stuff out without God? Granted, mankind has come up with God alternatives, small g. Humans have looked to the heavens for direction and meaning. Mankind has manufactured images and objects and monuments to worship and sacrifice in front of. Until the God of the universe reached out to Abram and called out a people that would respect, revere, and rely upon the God of the universe. So the Bible narrative of the people of God began when God called out a people to himself that would represent God to the peoples of the world. So from Genesis 12 to Revelation chapter 20, we see the God of the universe dealing with a nation, a people whom he called out to be his people. There's only one problem. The title of my message is God's People Rejecting God's Promises. God's people rejecting God's promises. Let's pray, could we? I know we just did that, but it helps me. Lord, we come before you to spend a little bit of time for clarity and biblical understanding of what's going on in our world today. We're not the only generation that has faced such international calamities. But we do ask for wisdom and guidance and direction biblically. We pray for those that couldn't be with us. We are grateful for the Methodist Church that was with us this morning. What an exciting time that was. And we pray that you'd be with our sermon now this evening. Give us ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I said Deuteronomy 28, right? Okay, I'm not there yet. So the Old Testament Bible narrative takes us through what we would call a chronological timeline of the formation of the nation of Israel. I think you would all agree on that. And how that nation was impacted by, as well as impacted all the nations of the world. Beginning with the book of Genesis, we see the beginning of this history, or God's covenant with Israel. We also see, through this biblical narrative, God's redemption of Israel. We then go through the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and we see God's adoption of Israel, God's protection of Israel, God's provision for Israel, God's promise to Israel, Then we go through the books of Deuteronomy and Joshua, and we see God's defense of Israel, God's fulfillment to Israel, but then we see and are exposed to the faith failures and the leadership compromises found in the book of Judges and Ruth. And then we see the nation of Israel wanting to be like the people of the world, requesting and requiring a king. And we go through the historical books of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And this is what we see. Deuteronomy 28. Are you there? Okay. Two verses. Verse 36. And we could have 100, but I think these two are sufficient. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Remember, the title of the message is God's People Reject God's Promises. How did they do that? Well, they did it with defiance. Israel did it with their rebellion. Israel did it with their idolatry. Israel did it with their stiff-necked and hard-heartedness. Israel did it because of their disobedience. Israel did it because of their arrogance, because of their pride, because of their independence from God, from their civil war and their division, from their wicked secular leadership, from their compromised religious leaders, from their spineless prophets, and Israel's worldly captivity. That basically goes through the entire Old Testament. And then we see that the nation of Israel and Judah were divided and corrupted and taken into captivity as we go through the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And what do we see when we read all of those major and minor prophets? We see God's people rejecting God's promises. And what is the result of that? God's judgment upon Israel. Turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 7. What else do we see? We see God's wrath upon Israel. What else do we see? God's punishment upon Israel. What else do we see? God's discipline upon Israel. I said Jeremiah 7. We're going to start in verse 21. I read this yesterday and I thought this would be a great place as the church looks backward and the church looks forward to the, could I say, the Israeli problem, the Jewish problem. And I'm glad that we've been spending the entire year dealing with the Jewish problem in the book of Hebrews. Jeremiah 7, verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet They hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished. That's not my sermon, but I wish it was. And is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet, till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah, and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of myrrh, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. 3 points and I'm finished. One, Israel rejects the ministry of the Son of God. So we go to the Gospels, we go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see the Son of God incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry. But what do we see from the nation of Israel? We see a uniparty against Christ. To take a few contemporary words, we see a uniparty against Christ. We see Israel's rejection of the Son of God. We see Israel's rejection of the prophecies fulfilled in Christ. And we see Israel arrest, try, torture, and crucify the Son of God. Point number one, done. We see the ministry of the Son of God rejected. Point number two. See, second half goes really quick. Point number two, Israel rejects the ministry of the disciples of God. So they reject the ministry of the Son of God. Then they reject the ministry of the disciples of God. Remember, the title of the message is God's People Reject God's Promises. So let's set the table again, but this time we're on the other side of the cross of Calvary. The church has been born. The price for sin has been paid. Christ has suffered, died, was buried, raised, and ascended up into heaven. Acts 1:8, you're very familiar with it, is the marching orders for the church. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been commissioned to arise and take the message of redemption to the world. So we have the early church meeting in Jerusalem to replace the deceased disciple, Judas Iscariot. And then we have the sign for the Jewish believers and the disciples themselves of the official birth of the church. We call that Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Ghost. So the message of Peter and the disciples on the day of Pentecost for the salvation of sinners began what we would call global evangelization. The people of God now are reminded of, again, as we look through the message of Peter in Acts chapter number 2, God's covenant with Israel, God's redemption of Israel, God's adoption of Israel, God's protection of Israel, God's provision for Israel, God's promise to Israel, God's defense of Israel, God's fulfillment to Israel. But what we probably are not so familiar with is the continuation of the pattern on the part of the nation of Israel regarding their defiance, their rebellion, their idolatry, their stiff-necked and hard-heartedness, their disobedience, their arrogance, their pride, their independence from God, their civil war and their division, their wicked secular leadership, their compromised religious leaders, their spineless prophets, and their worldly captivity. Let me give you an example. Acts chapter 4, if you'd turn there. That might have been just a whole lot of words. I tried to condense the whole Bible in a couple pages, so that's hard to do. Acts chapter 1, did I say Acts chapter 4? That's what I meant, Acts 4. Forgive the guy who said that first. Acts 4. So we have the disciples. Peter and John minister to a cripple man, and the Lord heals him. And again, another sign to the nation of Israel, to those that weren't saved, I will validate the word of God with a sign from God. I will validate the word of God with a sign from God for Jews, because Jews seek after a sign. Could I also say this? To the children of Abraham as well. So if you're hearing about Muslims getting saved, generally, it's usually with signs and wonders. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it is now eventide. Sounds like an insurrection. We've got to put these people in prison. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men that believed was about 5,000. That's quite a bit. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. The CIA, the FBI, Homeland Security, you get the idea. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, pause. Who is this chapter about? Israel. It's about the leadership of Israel. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't have their PhD, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That ought to be probably the number one key. They had been with Jesus. And so too should we. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They had a secret meeting, kind of like the Republicans did just the other day, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them. Playbook hasn't changed, has it? that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They were canceled. We're going to silence them, everything that they do today. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And we could read further about what happened when they told the other saints in the Lord what had happened to them. So we have a rejection by the nation of Israel, by the leadership of Israel, regarding the disciples, the ministry of the disciples of God. Second, turn with me to Acts chapter 5, not too far away. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. So now we not only have Peter and John, but now we have all 12. So all 12 are here, and the high priest rises up, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. It seems like this is a narrative. This is normal behavior for leadership. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, of course they had no clue what happened, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought, clueless that God had already released them. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereinto this would grow. This is bad PR. We have to squash this immediately. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison, guess where they are? They're standing in the temple and teaching the people. Their minds are blowing up. Then came one, Then went a captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we could continue. They had rejected the ministry of the disciples. So they rejected the ministry of the Son of God. They're rejecting the ministry of the disciples of God. Number three, example regarding the disciples. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. This is the story about Stephen. This is the story about the early church exploding in size from 3,000 to 5,000, 8,000. So they're in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 to 12 to 15,000 believers in Jerusalem at this time. And they needed some support. They prayed and ordained seven men to be deacons. Stephen was one of them. Look at verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Don't miss that. So the religious leaders were being saved as well. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, Jew, think of Hebrew, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, they bribed people, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Lie. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Lies. "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Chapter number 7 is all about this deacon, Stephen, going before the religious council, defending himself, and basically preaching one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible. At the end of his sermon, Acts chapter number 7, they are livid. They are blowing up in their mind. There's rage and wrath and anger and clamor. They want nothing to do other than destroy this person. This is Saul of Tarsus was there. They're going to stone Stephen to death because the religious crowd did not want to be part of the ministry of the disciples of God. Do we see a pattern here? We see a pattern. Now, we have no time to go through the bridge from Acts chapter 7, but right here, the book of Acts changes. It goes from a Hebrew book to a Hebrew Gentile book, because Acts 8, Samaritans get saved. Remember, the Samaritans were the dogs. The Hebrews hated them. Samaritans. They were half-breeds. Not only in chapter 8 did Samaritans get saved, Ethiopian eunuch got saved. So we have a Samaritan get saved and a black man from Africa get saved. In Acts chapter number 9, a brown man got saved. His name was Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, a pagan Italian military centurion got saved. That's incredible. A Gentile got saved, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 11, the church in Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem, the Hebrew church, the Jerusalem church, is out of their mind because Peter witnessed to a Gentile centurion. They're ready to have a church split until there are testimonies where Peter basically said, "Look, am I to obey God or to obey man regarding this?" So that was settled in Acts chapter number 11. But at the end of Acts chapter number 11, there's a little town called Antioch of Pisidia, which is kind of north of Lebanon, where there's a revival going on. And the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas up there and said, "Could you go figure out what's going on up there? Gentiles are getting saved." So Barnabas went up there. Barnabas realizes this is way too big, too much. I can't do this. I'm going to go find myself a gospel consultant. So Barnabas went to Tarsus and he looked up a guy by the name of Saul in the directory and he found him. And Barnabas and Saul pastored the church at Antioch, Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter number 12, James is martyred, John's brother. In Acts chapter 12, Peter's put in prison. The angel of the Lord lets Peter out. Essentially, Acts chapter 12 is the last time we hear about Peter. Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch, where Barnabas and Paul were ministering, God called Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries. That's where we are now, Acts 13. So if you'd go there, we're now third and last category. So the Jews rejected the ministry of the Son of God. The Jews rejected the ministry of the disciples of God. And lastly, again, this is important because this brings us from the resurrection and ascension of Christ to 2023. Okay? Where are we today? Israel rejects the ministry of the Spirit of God. I'm going to look at that. For those of us that are in baseball, three strikes and you're out. If they reject the ministry of the disciples of God, strike one, strike two, strike three. The third section, they reject the ministry of the Spirit of God, strike one, strike two, strike three, and they're done. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, the first example of God's people rejecting God's promises. Acts 13. Paul and Barnabas are sent out. They begin their first missionary journey. They come to a place called Antioch of Pisidia. Now, this is not the Antioch where the church was. This is a different location up in the region of Turkey. Antioch of Pisidia, if we were to look at Acts 13, this is Paul's first sermon recorded in the Bible. He did an awful lot of teaching and preaching that isn't recorded. This one is. We could spend a whole lot of time reading through this sermon, which would make sense to us, because Paul is basically laying out in the synagogue, verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So they're in a Jewish location, in a Jewish neighborhood, in a secular pagan city. And Paul and Barnabas, being Jews, had full right to go into that synagogue. They were strangers to those people. They gave them an opportunity to stand and testify. So Paul did. And he preached this amazing, amazing sermon. Verse 42. How did they respond? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Where were those Gentiles? Well, they weren't in the synagogue. They were outside, eavesdropping. They were listening through the windows. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, so those might have been Gentiles that became Jews, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In other words, some of them had gotten saved. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They were downright mean. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, what do you think they said? It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Strike one. You missed it. Sorry. Your choice. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts 18. Acts 18. So the ministry of the disciples of God, they rejected. The ministry of the Son of God, they rejected. Now, the ministry of the Spirit of God, we have a biblical record of their rejection. Did I say Acts 18? Okay, so we have gone through the first missionary journey. Second missionary journey, they went to Lystra, chapter 16. Troas, Acts 16. Philippi, Acts 16. Thessalonica, Acts 17. Berea, Acts 17. Athens, Acts 17. Corinth, Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 1. So Paul and his missionary team, they are now at Corinth. Verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, Caesar, commanded that all Jews depart from Rome. In other words, they were kicked out. And came unto them. So this Jewish family left Rome and came to Corinth. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, Paul, and this guy, Aquila. Because they were tent makers, they wrought. You know, they worked together. For their occupation, they were tent makers. And he, Paul, reasoned where? In the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So Paul was preaching in the Sabbath, in the synagogues, and Jews and Greeks were getting converted. Verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul's teammates, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. What happened? And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Strike two. Why was it that they were so resistant, that they were so against the ministry of the Son of God, the ministry of the disciples of God, the ministry of the Spirit of God? Lastly, Acts chapter 28, which would be the last chapter in the book of Acts, which many have said is the unfinished chapter. Acts chapter 28 continues to this day, since we are still here. Now, Acts chapter 28 is really what we would call the fourth missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. So he is now going as a prisoner to Rome. He was imprisoned and persecuted in Acts 20. He was kidnapped and beaten in Acts 21 and 23. He was threatened in Acts 22 and 27. He was arrested numerous times in Acts 21, 22, 23, and 28. Paul was interrogated in Acts 25. He was ridiculed in Acts 26. He was ignored, Acts 27. He was shipwrecked in Acts 27. He was bitten by a viper in Acts 28. And Paul was placed under house arrest in this particular chapter, starting in verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. The chief of the what? He's in Rome. There was a Jewish community in Rome. Paul was going to hone in on them. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, the Romans, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, Julius Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. In other words, he was innocent. But in order for the Jews not to kill him, he needed the protection of the Roman government. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you. Paul is now talking to the Jews. Because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, to Paul, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Now, the only question they're going to ask the Apostle Paul is this. For as concerning this sect, We know that everywhere it is spoken against, they're referring to the way. Believers following the Messiah. Verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. He was teaching them, showing them the Messiah in the Old Testament. And some believed the things which they were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Isaiah 6:9. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Isaiah 6:10. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. He's talking to the Jews. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be what? Converted, and I should heal them. Pause. Christianity is conversion. You cannot be born in it. You need to be converted to it. Born a Catholic, die a Catholic. That's your choice. But the gospel clearly says you have to have a change of heart. This is strike three. Let's look at the next verse. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. God's people reject God's promises. The people of God, the nation of Israel as a nation and as a people are blind to the truth of the Messiah Jesus. Individual Jews are coming to Christ. Individual Muslims are coming to Christ. But Israel as a nation, political Israel, secular Israel, humanistic Israel, materialistic Israel is lost spiritually. So even though the prophetic passages in the Old Testament had a dual purpose, one was historical, one was prophetical, many of those passages regarding the future of Israel has not happened yet. So the message to us as the New Testament church, simply, keep witnessing, keep getting the Word of God out, keep presenting the gospel of salvation to the Jews as well as the Gentiles. God's people reject God's promises. Let's pray, could we? Lord, we are brokenhearted over the loss of life that we see in front of our eyes. But there's a time, there's a place, there's a point where the heart of man is full of war. And man left without God, left without the Holy Spirit, will become barbaric. God, we pray that the Word of God and the Spirit of God would have free reign and free course in the hearts and minds and souls of the people that we know, the people that we might meet, the people that you've ordained for us to talk to. Lord, we know you're coming soon. Give us courage, give us opportunity. to speak and minister the word of God to those that are without Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I have a video that I'd like to show before we leave. Spoiler alert. This might make some of you mad. You might say, the pastor's lost his mind. Well, let me just say this. You are who you listen to. So let me say that a different way. You ought to be looking for the truth. We have the truth in the Word of God. We have the truth in the Son of God. But what about secular truth? What about what's going on in our lives today? I said to one of our church members, one of the reasons why I was so plugged into COVID, I have a medical background. You might not. Simple, just simple. I don't have a financial background, banking, stocks, things like that, but there are some Congress people that do. So therefore, they're a whole lot wiser when it comes to our debt and national finances than I am. I'm having a hard enough time with my own personal finances. But when it comes to medicine, I've got a little bit of background, so therefore I was a little bit directed toward what I saw, what I didn't see, what changed, what was contradictory, and I tried to focus in on those that I thought were medically accurate and medically true and wanted to stand up for what they knew was true. Those are the people I'm trying to follow. Saved or lost are those kind of people I'm trying to listen to because there's a lot of noise out there. One of the men I tried to follow, when he was the president of King's College, some of you might have heard of King's College, Christian school in Manhattan. This individual who makes movies, political movies, was the president of that school. This is his latest movie that shows tomorrow.